What a complex world it is, where large corporations are able to bypass democratic process, where censorship shuts down the voice of the righteous and surveillance invades all of our lives, where good men and women huddle in corners around a husk of bread, where woodlouse feast upon the dead skin on their feet. Football's not like that, though. Football is nice. Welcome to Football is Nice with me, Russell Brand, and Gareth Roy, where we, using the lens of football, discuss culture, psychology, and actually football as well, just using the lens of football to talk really about
just a basic understanding
of football. That's right. Here are the main things that are on my mind. Declan Rice has left and gone to Arsenal.
Right.
That's just the thing that's happened now, and I'm just going to have to adjust to.
Yeah. Were you happy that they outbid City in the end?
I suppose you don't want him being sort of slung on the slag heap of stars at City. We're just thinking, atrophy and wither there.
Yeah. Will you be able to kind of get behind it? Like, when you see him, what will your emotions be now you see him for Arsenal?
I mean, I'm imagining him in red and white and stuff. It makes me feel a feeling in my tummy. I don't care for. Thing is, as well, by the time players generally end up at West Ham, something's gone terribly wrong. Usually speaking, so if you think about like Liam Brady travelling in the opposite direction, or Ian Wright travelling in the opposite direction, it's very much a swan song. You mean you don't even really think of Ian Wright having played?
No, I'd completely forgotten
West Ham.
Yeah,
do you?
No.
Clive Allen, he's played for basically all London clubs. You know, sort of, but like, Declan Rice going to enjoy his prime. There'll be a point, won't there, like with Rio Ferdinand, where you just don't really think of it.
West Ham.
Like, just, it's part of that bit.
History.
Yeah.
And he'll do like interviews and he won't mention West Ham at all anymore. That'll be so weird to see that. And he's, oh, yeah, we had a good game, and the boss and the gaffer, and he's talking about Arteta.
And like, when Rio Ferdinand is as a commentator, like, he's culturally Man United, isn't he? Not even Leeds. We didn't even tell him to, like, he had that Leeds job for 30 million, first of all. It's been pointed out that Freddie Ljungberg and Nigel Winterburn have made that journey.
Yeah.
Also, what I like about Nigel Winterburn, I think there was a moment that he started on either Paulo Di Canio or Cantona. I think it might have been Paulo Di Canio.
Right.
Like that he sort of like went, sort of went, and then sort of like, I think with a turn of the head. It's weird, isn't it, when talking about hard footballers, like sometimes it's not just sort of bulkiness. Like when Julian Dix came on our show, like he's widely regarded as one of the hardest footballers God ever breathed life into. Yeah. But it's not like he's emanating a sort of hardness all the time.
No.
Sort of like, oh, wait, me. So like a gentle soul.
There wasn't really a kind of intensity about him in the way that you feel like with Graham Souness there is.
Graham Souness, like when you're talking to him now, a man in his 60s, you still feel like there's a menace.
Yeah.
There's something menacing about Graham Souness. Mm. Like, I wouldn't feel like, and Shearer, like even actually, when I like, cause I did Match of the Day that time, of course, and like when I was with Shearer, I felt like he needed a lot of fluffing.
Right.
He needed to sort of warm him up.
You were only too glad, weren't you?
In the end, he wanted the fluffing to stop. It was the fluff that was the problem.
he got his back up. I hope it was his back.
It was the front stayed down, thankfully, but the back was right up. Yeah, so like, I suppose I will quickly just. I mean, you're a Hull City fan, and Hull City fans must continue. In it, like, really, it's either mediocrity or the sorrowful departures.
That's it.
Those are your options.
Yeah.
There he is. There's Graham Souness with Trevor Francis, I imagine, in the south of France. Both of them, certainly. If you're listening to this as a podcast, Graham Souness's hair is at its prime. He also doesn't look super hard. He's not like at that time, top flight professional footballers just were like normal looking men.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my body's like Graham Souness, except for the thighs. The teller thighs of Graham Souness's there. That's the thighs of the giveaway. Monstrous. Mighty thighs of Souness.
I guess it's what they were willing to do on a football field. I mean, Roy Keane is probably not the biggest of men, is he? But, you know, my God, you'd be terrified on a football field of Roy Keane.
Yeah, there's a menace. And I mean, I guess it's essential, isn't it? There's some, like I've told you before, one time when Chiron Gracie, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu master, I'd have to say, like, and his brother Henna, I once done some like BJJ classes with them, and like he once, like they've never, they told me, ever had a fight outside of, like they've never had an altercation or a street fight or a fracas or anything. But when he told me once that when someone was jostling too much in a mosh pit, like up near him at Roadhouse, Los Angeles, Sunset Boulevard, he said, he goes, I just put my hand on the guy's shoulder. I said, you're going to have to stop doing this.
Wow.
It was all so sort of cheerful, but he put his hand on my shoulder in the way that he'd put his hand on that person's shoulder. And like the energy that was coming down through his hand was like, I'm going to do what
I'll destroy you.
This isn't like a situation where you want to negotiate. It's one of the things I think about a lot, really, is like, there's just no point in having physical confrontations ever. It can go so wrong. I was doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu the other day with this handsome lad, 25 years old. Any excuse for a cuddle, really, girl.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And like the amount of speed with which he sort of like got me into an armbar position was impressive. He's coming here tomorrow, so I can see what we did.
Oh, right.
See if I can, and also maybe have a little kiss.
Exactly,
or something.
Yeah. We'll all enjoy seeing him.
He's very handsome. Handsome lad. He's absolutely lovely. So we've got lots of things to cover and discuss on Football Is Nice this week. Even though it's the close season, football still dominates the news, almost as if like talk radio stations, newspapers, and YouTube have realised that their advertising model requires football to be the dominant subject matter.
I'm sure it does, even though you've got the Ashes on at the moment.
And still, I understand it was like a really sort of radical and dramatic thing that happened on the last day from people that care about cricket.
Yeah, but there's still more interest in whether Jeff Shreves has quit Sky Sports.
Jeff Shreves has, I'm sorry to tell you now, quit Sky Sports. Stephen Gerrard has accepted the lure of the, what is money
Saudi
in Saudi Arabia?
Money. Oh, I
what
see.
They call their money.
I don't know.
It's not the lira. It's not lira.
No.
It's not dinar. It's not yen. I don't know what they call
They'll
their money.
They'll tell us. They'll tell us.
Where's he gone? Etifak FC. Etifak FC. Off he's gone. Oh, these are the new managers. Yeah. Stevie Gerrard. Do you, I mean, in a way, going off there to Etifak FC, I wonder what's going to happen there. Can you do anything in Saudi Arabia that's right. going to be regarded as
a success back
that's
here?
Good what you've done.
I know. No one, it's not going to matter. I bet, does he regret leaving Rangers? He did so well at Rangers. He won the like first league title in, what, 10, 11 seasons?
The problem is, yeah. The problem is like that if you then subsequently at Villa are regarded as an unimpressive manager, as he was, the Real in Saudi Arabia, the currency, I've been told, then the people revise the Rangers gig, don't they?
Yeah.
Say, oh, well, actually, it weren't that much of a...
Yeah, Celtic were in transition, Brendan Rodgers had left, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, people undermine even that success. It's as if that's sort of being sort of slowly withdrawn and retracted. Him, Postecoglou, he built his career, really, didn't he, at the secretary club. Our friend David Squires, the cartoonist from The Guardian, he lives in Australia and he does cartoons as well as on EPL. He does cartoons on like Australian soccer. And he said like seeing Postecoglou become famous after Celtic and now as the boss of Tottenham Hotspurs, like a really weird feeling, he says.
I bet it
is. Like someone you've been aware of for sort of too long and like as a sort of an interesting niche figure.
I bet it is. I mean, do you remember, I mean, you will remember Phil Brown at Hull. I mean, this is my version of this. It's like Phil Brown, I mean, came to us in the Championship and got us promoted, which was amazing anyway. And then we had such an amazing start to the next season. We beat all the London clubs, West Ham included in that. And then there was an interview where someone asked him if he would manage England. And then there was this moment for a few days where people were like saying to me, what do you think about Phil Brown being the England manager? It was such a mad idea for me that this guy who joined us, you know, in the bottom of the Championship, and now they were talking about as a possible England manager.
Like, it makes you realise that there are a lot of sliding doors moments in football, and I suppose in life more broadly, and particularly in the film Sliding Doors, where they really feature prominently.
Yeah. Came into its own in that film.
Yeah. I mean, in a way, that was its zenith, wasn't it? That's where they really enshrined the concept of, wait a minute, if you'd got through them sliding doors, you'd have met that person and married them. No, directed that? Joey from Bread.
Is that right?
Joey from Bread.
Wow.
Now, by Joey from Bread, this concept. Imagine like if you hadn't seen O'Connor Train. Hey, you, Joey. bread.
I'd like it if all his films are lesser successful versions of phrases like sliding doors.
Sliding doors, yes. A Stitch in Time by Joey from Bread. It'll all come out in the wash. Joey from Bread. Depends which way your bread is buttered. Joey from Bread. Bread. Joey from Bread. Hey, right there. Joey from Bread. They tried two actors as Joey from Bread.
Here we go.
They started.
It was inevitable we would get on to talking about Bread at some point.
Peter Howitt was the original Joey from Bread. They tried to replace Joey from Bread with someone else. I don't know this guy's name. Because for me, there's only one Joey from Bread. Yeah. And that's Joey from Bread. Peter Howitt. Like, I won't have it. Anyway, so sliding door, what I'm saying about sliding doors moments is like that Phil Brown for a minute.
Yeah.
There he is. Oh, he's gorgeous. He's another one. I'll do some BJJ with you, mate.
Get Phil Brown up.
Phil Brown, like, there's a bit where, and I swear that I'm not making this up, and I bet you could verify it using a search engine, like Ask Jeeves. Like, Ask Jeeves will solve this, right? They were saying Phil Brown is the British Mourinho. That's what I'm saying. And I think it was because he wore something on his ear. That's what it was down to. Like, he wore like an earpiece.
Yeah.
What's this guy got in his ear? He's a bloody British Mourinho. Now, I think we were. No, it's not that. It's not a device. Like, Phil, like Mourinho, as it turned out, was an incredibly charismatic, powerful personality who, through force of will, could generate footballing dynasties.
I think it's also because Phil Brown had an unexplainable tan as well.
Mm.
So I think that, you know, played a part.
Like, Phil Brown, his surname actually described him. There he is with that. Here's an image of him wearing that device.
Oh.
It was disconcertingly what you would call flesh colour, of course, though flesh colour is something that varies. And in the case of Phil Brown, the flesh colour is too pale to match his brown head. It's what you might say is sort of a light Caucasian skin tone, whereas Phil himself is moving towards leathery.
Yes, he is.
Like a sort of he's in the area of swarth. And even though that's a candid shot that Getty Images have provided, courtesy of Paul Ellis, you'd have to say that Phil was sort of posing for it, and that's very much while at Hull, as his tie demonstrates, Nick Gow, the famous Hull colours of sort of, what do you call that, tangerine?
Amber.
Amber.
Mm.
And it'd be one of them sort of takes on orange.
Yeah. Amber and black, that's what we are.
You're amber and black, like claret and blue. Yeah. It's weird because it ain't red, what West Ham wear, and I suppose it ain't yellow.
Mm.
Or, like, would you not consider calling that gold?
No. Amber and black.
Amber. That's the culture of the club. Phil Brown briefly was the sort of, is he going to be an England manager? No, he's not going to be Hull manager for much longer. He's actually not good enough.
Yeah, we're going to replace him with Ian Dowie. And a move that didn't save us from relegation.
Heartthrob, Ian Dowie. Ian Dowie, who played for West Ham. Yeah, Ian Dowie, there's some players whose physical appearance...
Yeah.
It was accepted then, wasn't it, that you're allowed to just sort of like say, like, Peter Beardsley.
Right.
He's ugly bastard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like nowadays you're not to say stuff like that, are you? Like,
well, also you're not allowed to be it. I mean, are there any... There aren't any ugly footballers anymore.
Albeit every single one of them, up and down the leagues, is drop dead gorgeous.
They're beautiful.
No wonder they are so desired.
Yeah.
By all and sundry. Chant for Dowie. Number nine was you look like Frankenstein. It must be that tune, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You look like Frankenstein. Actually, it's Frankenstein's monster because I've got Mary Shelley's novel here. Now, just to clarify that this is a novel about the danger of meddling in God's domain. You won't be accepted in God's domain, you ugly bastard. Get out of God's domain. You're a monster.
Poor Ian Dowie.
Poor Ian Dowie. And then Phil Brown. He reached his peak, didn't he, by having a talk on the pitch?
That's right, yeah, it was the half-time team talk.
Did you win after that?
No.
Lost, and that was the peak and end of him.
Yeah, it was, in a way, yeah, it was that season that we ended up sacking him. I will say, I adore Phil Brown.
Like, still?
Absolutely.
What for?
Well, getting us up in the first place was quite an amazing achievement because we were, I've never thought this would happen, but we are doing it. Yeah, because we were nearly relegated the season before, so it was an amazing achievement. And then he was just a fantastic personality. He was one of those...
Was he good on the news and that?
He was great. His team talk, his post-match and pre-match talks, he was just a fantastic character to have in the game. And I think he's still brilliant. I saw a documentary about Hull recently and he's still a brilliant character.
What's he doing now though, Phil Brown?
I'm not sure.
Get him on.
I think he went to Southend and managers there. I'm not
down
sure.
Down at Roots Hall, Southend, my manor. Now, that on pitch talk was very much considered to be like a chastisement for a less than adequate first half performance, wasn't
it? I think
the
players said he lost the dressing room that day.
Because he's gone, no, you're not going in the dressing room, you're staying out here.
Yeah, I mean, he literally lost the dressing room.
I don't know where it is. So, it's down that corridor somewhere. I don't know which left, right, one of those colours.
We'll do it here instead.
Sit down nicely. I've realised that the whole thing's pointless. We can have our Lucasites out on the pitch. Don't have half-time oranges anymore. It's this lovely sugary drink. John Barnes will tell you it's isometric or something. I don't remember, John Barnes. This is isometric or isotonic.
Isotonic, yeah.
Got your first fast, and then he booted it, didn't he, across the room into a bin, like saying we're still going to clear up our litter. Isometric or isotonic or otherwise isosceles, whatever it is, it's going straight down the bin hole. And then like Phil Brown, so like that, you know, like think about had West Ham lost in that European Super Cup final there, Conference League final, like, it would have been, it wouldn't have felt the same. Now, like, it feels like, David Moyes, like, you know, people are saying, yep, he's got to go down. Well, someone said, the most successful West Ham manager of all time, and that's telling you something. like that's how he has to be remembered.
I guess so, right? This couldn't happen to a nicer bloke.
I love him. Yeah. Actually, I've gone from not liking him in the first place and to now really loving him.
Yeah.
Like I was to follow the typical trajectory of a West Ham fan on the subject of Moyes. Cynicism to adulation.
Yes.
Viz once really brilliantly mimicked that saying like that. Graham Taylor should be arrested and hanged. And like they went from like saying he should be knighted in the New Year's honours list. Like, people have too much extreme opinions. We've got that commercial for Lucasade, which John Barnes, their brilliant Liverpool, Watford, England, Newcastle footballer, guest on Football is Nice. Mm. And I would say brilliant. What do I want to say? Sort of, his explanations of the dynamics around race and class, I think, are extremely interesting, important, and unique as a man who grew up in, or was born in Jamaica, to, by his description, to a middle class military family. Then he comes to the UK and he's got some really amazing insights. But let's not focus on those now. Let's focus on Lucasade, a drink where the claim it made is like it replenishes your body fluids, which is a claim that actually any drink, like it replenishes your body. What does this do? Yeah. Replenishes your body fluids. Yeah. Except for, what's that word? Like, there's a word, diuretics.
Oh, okay.
Like coffee actually diminishes
it. Yeah, is that an old wives' tale?
I don't know, mate.
People always say that to me. I have tea, and they go, oh, don't do that.
Drink yourself to death, mate. You drink a couple of pints of tea, right? And it won't be nothing left of you. Think about it. You know, people are always drinking tea. Look how they're all withered, don't they? They're like a prune. It's not true, though, is it?
No, it can't be true. That changes all the time, stuff like that.
People always making these claims.
They do, like eggs. Oh, eggs are bad.
They give you cancer. You die.
Eat eggs all the time now.
It will make you stronger than Jeff Capes. people can't make their mind up.
No.
Tomatoes, you out your mind, eat a tomato, you'll be dead by the morning. Tomatoes, your cock will be like a marrow. Tomatoes, the answer to all the world's problems. Here's Lucasade and John Barnes. If you're listening to the audio version, you can watch this show on Rumble. They make our content. Let's have a look.
After 90 minutes of sheer hell, you're going to get thirsty.
Sheer hell? Sheer hell? He's actually in an England kit.
Oh, he is. Well, actually, back then, it was probably a decent description.
Yeah, it's been racially abused.
He actually didn't have the best England time, did he?
After 9 minutes of inexcusable racism. I need a good sip of Lucasade. Yeah.
This is my satanic Lucasade sport.
Barnes has got a good body, in them days.
Yeah, great
like
body.
In them days, you could be like, obviously, he's sort of 5-10 years later than Graham Souness, but already the body has improved.
Well, it's the Lucasade, obviously.
Look at this gorgeous Lucasade. I'm delicious, eh? Now, Graham Souness, what would he be swilling down? Some sort of tenants. Bitter. After 90 minutes of needlessly...
Have a great time kicking people.
Studs up, tackled. I get pissed out of my mind on tenants.
Gets your thirst fast. Isotonic means it's in balance with your body fluids.
that means. What is it?
It's in balance with your body fluids.
That's good, considering the alternative would be that it's horribly jarring. It coagulates and turns your body fluids into a solid. Going down his body.
Graphics
in a sort of them were the days.
Early CGI.
Yeah, like Tron. It's going down his body in a blue cloud. It looks sort of like a sort of a COVID commercial now. You'd be worried about that. Sport, seriously, the official sport drink of British athletics. That's embedded in my mind very deeply.
Yes,
that
me
kicking
too.
Him in that waste. Yeah. Luke said in that waste yeah. paper basket.
I guess he was one of the most high-profile players in this country at that time, wasn't he?
Yeah, John Barnes.
Yeah, because it was one of those players that, like, when he, especially playing for Liverpool, it was like a kind of football that we hadn't seen, like his dribbling ability and how skillful he was as a player.
Candy.
Candy, yeah.
The sponsor there after yeah. Crown Paints.
That's right.
I'm tracking all those things yeah. when I was a little boy. I see candy, is it now? Still don't know what that is.
Yeah. Crown Paints, I mean, we know
paint.
Is paint.
Gotcha. No, not candy, Dulux.
I think candy made fridges.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I saw a fridge once with candy on it, and I thought,
oh, that's that.
Yeah, like, I remember thinking at the time, I'd buy one of them in the future.
I'll consider getting one of those next time I'm making a purchase.
Fast forward 10 years, I'll clock that one.
Oh, candy. Oh, I remember that. Gets the first fart. No, that's not it. That's the other product. Oh, thank you, mister. let's have a look at, see your Hull, excuse me, Watford.
Oh, yeah.
They wear proper leather.
No.
Hull's mascot's got himself wound up. Let's break down this logo though. Hull City's logo's on the screen now.
Yeah.
I'd say that tiger's not very good.
Well, the thing is, so that's the old tiger that we had on the old Hull City
Did
badge.
You like that
and
one?
There's been a lot of issues with the Hull City badge and name over the last decade because our previous owners obviously wanted to call us Hull Tigers at one
didn't
stage.
Didn't want to change the colour of the kit as well. Like, why don't they wear something else?
They didn't want to change the kit. That was Cardiff who actually did do that.
Well, you know, red. Yeah.
Blue.
Yeah, it was blue to red.
But was our name and everything? No, red now. It's better. We like it.
That's mad.
You can't just change
from
blue.
Imagine
red.
Doing that at West Ham. They'd be. Yeah. What would the reaction be at West Ham?
That's like
to that?
Going Pakistan and just going. You're Hindu now. Yeah. What? On a minute, we're killing each other over that. No, I'm changing. Belfast, you know what? You're Catholic. Aye, and you're Protestant. That's right. Well, we're switching it. Oh, we've been killing each other. Well, carry on killing each other. It's just you're doing it for the reason. Oh, okay. Can't do that. That's our proudest traditions.
Right.
Yeah, it's out of order when you do stuff like that. I'm still not happy that the castle got took out of the back, even though it did start as the Hammers. That's the counter-argument. It started as the Hammers, then the castle, now
then
back to just
out.
The Hammers again.
Yeah.
Because I had this tattoo done, actually.
Oh, no. You got a castle in it? Oh, yeah, isn't
it? It's like as God intended.
Right.
There's the old castle there, see? Right? That's what it's meant to be.
Yeah.
And the fact is that was done when I was married to Kate Perry.
Yeah.
She had a tattooist on her tour, and I got the Hammers done. And in the background, there's a sort of a white swirl because it was the candy motif of that entire tour. And a little bit later, I thought, I'll put a cut, well, I was still married, actually. I put a castle in there, if you don't mind.
Writing was on the wall, wasn't it?
Tattooing over tattoos. Yeah. And then, so I don't like things changing like that, mate.
No.
So that, what's going on with your
this
badge?
I think this is the new owners kind of appeasing or trying to rewrite the last few years where there was a lot of issues between the fans and the owners.
Where's your owner from? Thailand or?
He's Turkish.
Turkish. Oh, yeah, no, we
Simon Cowell.
He's a go-getter, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. He's great.
They say, well, he's called the Turkish. He's not actually Simon Cowell.
No, but they call him the
Turkish
or
Simon
we call
Cowell.
Him the Turkish Simon Cowell. It's been brilliant.
What is the reason for that?
Well, he's Turkish, but he's a
yeah, I mean, Turkish. I understand why you call people Turkish. Why exactly would you call someone who's from France Turkish? Get their gander up. I know that he's Turkish.
He's a media mogul, essentially.
Mogul.
He hosts lots of game shows and things like that. He does Survivor and Turkish Survivor. And the prize, get this, the prize to win Turkish Survivor, I think it
come
was...
Come to Hull.
It was come to Hull.
Fucking hell.
I'm not...
That's rough, innit? You thought you had it rough on that island? Good luck in the town square of a Friday.
It was amazing. There was this moment where there's literally a clip of him announcing it, and he goes, "You're all coming," and then on this desert island, and they're like, "Yeah, where?" And he goes, "To Hull," and they are so elated. Like it wasn't real. Like they just dubbed it over and it was, actually you were flying you to Australia or something. But then they show them coming to Hull and they go to a game
happy.
And they're so happy about it.
How long have I been on that island? Long enough to forget what Hull is and good quality living. No, I love Hull. I love that place. Hold on a minute. I've got a few questions more about that. Why ain't he using Hull more in his entertainment business? You know, like, why is it not like Ryan Reynolds and his mate?
Oh, I see.
Like, right, everyone in Hull, we're coming to Turkey.
Oh, he does do that as well. Yeah, does he? He's flown out loads of fans to Turkey. Yeah,
he's all right, isn't he?
He's great. Yeah, we love him.
I love him.
Yeah,
he sounds all right. Are you gonna show us something? Is this gonna become animated? One thing I'll say about this, those of you listening to this, the tiger graphic that is the emblem of Hull City, the tiger's sort of the representation of a tiger print is erratic and confusing and almost schizophrenic. Mm. And in front of the ear is a sort of a second ear made of pattern. And I don't think it's a good. And I don't think the person who drew that was looking at a tiger when they drew it.
I think you're right about that.
I think what they were having it was a seizure and then just drew a tiger during that seizure. Is it going to animate or something then?
Oh, I don't think it will.
Well, it won't do. Hull City story. Oh, that's quite good. Did Jack do that?
Wow.
It's not bad for Jack.
That is very good.
Those of you that are regular followers of our show know bad graphics Jacks are usually bad.
They could actually use that at Hull if you send it off to them.
Who did the rah? Jack himself? Jack done it all on the whole thing.
Wow.
Well done, Jack. Mm. That's your best work. But that's like saying West Ham's highest achievement is to win that cup. All right. So, mate, isn't the story that Hull City's mascot, Amber, give stand why birth after being grabbed inappropriately by a supporter. Now, sadly, this potentially we're going to have to handle it sensitively.
We are, because I thought it was Rory.
Is Amber the female one?
I didn't even know there was an Amber.
Amber, yeah, she's the lady one. And as is indicated by the fact she's got a pink bow in her head.
Well, there you go.
The time-honoured classic.
Mrs. Pac-Man,
yeah. Bugs Bunny, when he does that.
That's the way to do it.
Feminise. What they say in marketing, pink it and shrink it. That's how they, like say a razor blade.
Right.
Pink it and shrink it. That's how they...
Nice.
Like now it's a woman's one.
Got it.
Pink it and shrink it. It's a phrase. An incident involving Hull City's tiger mascot, Amber, has been investigated by four companies. This is not an amusing story. This is a criminal offence.
Right.
The mascot is said to be refusing to visit one of the homes where stands after being grabbed inappropriately. Yeah, but, all right. Because we thought, I suppose it's an interesting study on gender. I assumed it was a bloke.
Yeah.
In which case I would have supposed
I mean,
I
guess
perspective.
It could well still be a bloke inside.
Yeah, well, there's no reason that, and then that takes the heat out of this again.
I guess it does.
Like, you're right there. You ask us, at West Ham, we've got a teddy bear, who I've never liked as a mascot, and we've got something like Irby the Ammer.
That's right.
I don't like him either, actually. Although he actually is designed by David Squires, and you can see that.
Oh, that's right.
When you look at him,
it.
He designed that mascot a brief troubling time when he worked at the club.
That's right.
Yeah, he worked in the sort of back room, like at West Ham, and just sort of like you saw too much, you know.
Yeah, but I understand that hammer one as well, though. But what's the other one about?
It just came out of it.
It's just,
I mean, like that sort of the thing is with mascots. Didn't like Crystal Palace's eagle one get itself in a lot of trouble?
Right. It?
Well, I think it got it took a piss
because they've got an actual eagle as well, haven't they?
Perfect,
which is brilliant.
Watford never know whether to go with a moose, which is on their badge, or a hornet, which is their nickname.
Right.
I think that's confusing because a hornet makes sense because they do their kit hornet looking colours, but then they've got a moose inexplicably on their badge, and then I feel like their mascot is a moose. There's a lot of confusion.
Yeah, that is confusing.
Let's hope you have. Now you can see that's a Dave Squires drawing. Actually, when if you're familiar, it's got the. That's how he does renders eyes. That's how he does mouths.
Yes.
There's Herbie the Hammer. The body of Herbie, very much I suppose what you'd expect. That's an attempt to make it like the shaft
like
of a hammer.
Like a wooden shaft. Yeah.
It's complex, really.
It is.
Okay, there's a few things that I want to touch upon. This is interesting. When we're having our rather more intellectually oriented conversations about football and we talk about the ongoing commodification and commercialization of the game that may at some point extract from it its essence, it might lose the ability to be a truly organic cultural artifact that creates not only moments of sporting wonder, but great narratives and moments of high emotion, pathos, pain, loss, jubilation, as well as, you know, occasionally awful abuse. We've got two things to show you now. One, and to explain to you, those of you that are listening to us, like Celtic fans, went to great trouble to use the C word, the most offensive of the swear words, many people believe, to describe a linesman. Like they hold up a banner that I reckon involved the compliance of 200 fans yeah. to get that held up. Like 200 people had to go, yeah, this is good. We're going to do this. Or like, so like you can see the clip in the visual version of the show. And it's like, they've said the name of the linesman, don't they?
Yeah.
It's actually quite well rendered. The graphic ability is greater than actually bad graphics jacks. Like, so it says Douglas Ross is a C word. He's getting a round of applause, like from women and children.
Wow!
In like, you know, in the sort of family area, people love it. Don't, like, it's brilliant. It's sort of, I would say, it's across a section of stand that I would say is 500, 600 people, right? But then, when you look at this game at Seattle Sounders, also Sounders. What is a Sounder? That's not good.
Is that a thing?
What is a Sounder? The Seattle Sounders, because you look up what that means. Like, they have, like, so the football chants are one of the most delightful aspects of the game. Yeah. Any fan would say that. Sometimes they're rude and naughty. Sometimes they're offensive. At times they've been racist and unacceptable. And sometimes they refer to horrible tragedies in the history of the clubs. But I think all of us, in a sense, overall go, all right, because this is an organic cultural machine, occasionally it's going to not misfire, but it's going to generate profanity because that's what mob mentality, crowd consciousness can do. But it's worth it because, in a way, it is a culture creating device.
Also, I guess with the way that football fans in this country are perceived, or certainly have been perceived in the past, you would think that they would be much worse than they are. I mean, generally speaking, chants are funny and playful and, you know, really hilarious. Some of the best aspects of going to see a football game is listening to the amazing chants, because they're really innovative and weird and strange. They pick up in like real details that you just wouldn't expect. There's an amazing culture created through it all.
Yeah, like I once heard someone go, who was that goalkeeper? Something Frazier. Frazier shaves his legs. Someone shouted once. That's someone. Odd offensive thing. It was about 30 years ago, before people might have shaved their legs in those conditions. And like, there's many, many famous and beautiful and rude chants. And I suppose, in a way, it draws attention to the fact that the crowd, that football functions as a valve. That there's the opportunity to express safely, like confrontational, even aggressive positions without it harming people, because it's ceremonial, if not theatrical. It isn't real. It's not really going to happen. Now, of course, when you have to sort of cross-reference that against the culture and say, well, hold on, what about when people are making, sort of saying, like, racist chants or referring to sort of tragic historic events, like in the case of, like, Manchester, the sort of Munich air crash, and in the case of Liverpool, the sort of Heysel and Hillsborough disasters, then you feel like, well, of course, that's perhaps a different thing. And one wonders if there are other laws that are sort of that kind of, in a sense, covers. But because the whole thing is functioning as a valve, you can sort of see what the overall function is without condoning, of course, you know, sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, but sort of inappropriate stuff.
Yeah.
And like, when you look at the alternative, and when I saw this clip from Seattle Sounders of a kind of a cheerleader generating chants at a football match in Seattle, it made me recognise, it helped me to witness what it is I'm trying to describe when I say the game could use its essence, like could lose its essence. Lose its essence. The game could lose its essence because, like, you can't keep replicating, commodifying, transposing, relocating, commodifying, outpricing football, and in the end not be left with something banal and sterile. And here's where you see what that banality and sterility may look like in this chart. Before we get into this, what was it? I think you flashed up what the definition was of Sounders. Like, what are they exactly? Sounders are, it's a ref to Puget Sound, an inlet off the Pacific Northwest near Seattle Sounders. So it's an area, but it's also used to describe a herd of swine. So it's like a geographical reference. I get it then, the Sounders. Okay, but have a little look at this. Fight and win. It's too literal.
Yeah.
There's no tune or melody, and he's trying to compensate for the lack of meaning in the chant with a facial expression that looks sort of psychopathic and constipated.
And a scarf. I don't know if that's meant to be doing some of the work.
The scarf's going to be doing some of the work. The scarf's got, carrying a heavy burden around that man's throat.
Come on, Seattle! Come on, Seattle!
He seems like he, I don't know, is he actually committed to it, this guy? Because he's sort of nodding, he's being intense, he's certainly risking a hemorrhoid, I would say, with a level of commitment. To fight and win in the end. That's sort of like, in a sense, that's an, I would say, that's an example of inauthentic, fatic culture.
Yeah, although, I guess, I mean, I don't know, I don't watch much American soccer, so I don't know the culture of the kind of game over there.
Yeah.
And I guess you could say, I mean, there was that Icelandic thing that came about, you know, during the Euros a few years ago. Yeah.
I liked that.
And that was amazing, actually, to witness that happening. Yeah. And then they did the big clap thing, and that's really taken off, hasn't it? You know, where they all do that, and it's an amazing thing when you see that happen.
Especially when we lost 1-0 to them.
Yeah, right.
Ending the career of Roy Hodgson.
Really, he's just signed a new contract with Palace.
Come out of a chant there, have you? You've made me look a real prick there. Thanks for that.
So I guess you could potentially argue that it's just a different culture, that the football culture in the United States is different to our more slightly kind of playful English culture over here. I don't know.
That's interesting. That's an interesting take because, like, yeah, I reckon, like, my general understanding is, like, that female soccer over there is popular.
Yep.
It's important at schools. And then in certain regions, it's significant for Latin and Central American communities.
Yeah.
So that's how it's sort of significant. So I suppose, but because I suppose the way that I compare America to England is already a homogenized impression of those two nations.
Yeah.
And then I'm just sort of using the lens of the sport to make that comparison. And that image, I suppose, didn't help that. Because, I don't know, like, even that sort of annoying brass band that goes around with England is still sort of like...
yeah. Still there.
Like, it seemed... They weren't there at the World Cup, were they?
I don't know. I'm not sure, but...
What about South Africa?
They've been there a long time now.
They've been going a while, haven't they? They must have subbed out a few people.
Yeah.
Have you ever been invited as the French hornist?
I actually played trumpet once, not for the England team, but it was at one of the it was at a rugby game. Me and my mate Andy did it
out on the pitch.
Yeah, to dress
Bloody
up as a bumblebee.
Hell.
Yeah,
I've never had a good experience going on a football pitch, like either playing or to, like, I feel like I had one time after I'd been involved in a campaign to save some flats, I walked down past the chicken run at Old Upton Park and I got some positivity. But there's other times where it's like, you know, they go like the club, would you come out and do a raffle half time? I go,
nah,
you ain't getting
right.
me out there, mate. No chance. I can't take that. No, thank you.
No.
I'll sit quietly and stay out of the way. Oh, no, we're being asked to wrap up the show because of presumably the pressures of do a live broadcast. So we've got to send it out. All right, I'll just run through these things. Gerrard, Saudi Arabia, done it. First week at Chelsea for Poch and Pog. Pochettino at Chelsea, it's going to be a success, isn't he?
It's got to be better than what's happened recently.
It's been a mess.
Yeah.
They've had to fire sale players off, haven't they? This is what I predict. Kai Havertz is going to come alive at Arsenal.
That would be amazing if that
happened. And Kovacic.
Yeah. Gone Man City, hasn't he?
He's going to be. He's good.
He's a very good player. They got him for a good... I mean,
going for a steal.
25 million.
How much did they get him?
25, I think.
Why can't West Ham have him for that?
Well,
because
Man City wants him. Yeah.
That ain't fair. And James Maddison. Even James Maddison, that weren't much money. We'll end up paying...
40 million, wasn't it? Yeah.
We'll pay more for less. That's the West Ham's transfer slogan.
You're getting Harvey Barnes, apparently.
Are we going to get Harvey Barnes?
I love Harvey Barnes.
I want James Ward-Prowse.
Great.
I want Harvey Barnes. I want that lad out of Ajax whose name I ain't memorised. They're all midfielders. And I want Tammy Abraham, so he's got a long-term injury. And then Tammy Abraham is out. And they're maybe taking Scaramaccia back, but we ain't going to sell him.
Right.
That's my understanding. That's good. Pretty good roundup.
Yep.
Wenger's going to change the offside rule. Clear daylight.
Wow.
That's what we want. Clear daylight between, like, though it'll come to haunt you, innit? You always think this. Like, my bias at the moment is, yes, I like this rule where it's like, if there's an overlap, it's onside.
Yes.
And if there's clear daylight offside, that seems like a clearer, right? Oh, their legs attack. Like, you know, it seems like it's a clearer rule and it seems that it would favour attacking play and in favour of attackers.
So they're going to do this in certain countries and certain leagues? Is that being implemented?
If FIFA are considering the rule change, then I guess it will get piloted somewhere. But you said earlier, Gal, that the game will just adjust and
I mean, the first thought is obviously there'll be more goals. But then you think, well, maybe... I mean, we've never gone through a period, have we, where it's like suddenly one season, there's like hundreds more goals than other seasons. Everything does adjust. Tactics levels out, exactly. So I don't know. It'd be interesting.
What I'm looking forward to is the phrase clear daylight.
Yeah, you
being
want that.
Sort of like, I want that phrase back in the lexicon. Sure. We wanted to ask you, our viewers, please let us know what guests you want on the show. I want Phil Brown, and I want my whole pitches are Phil Brown and that Turkish Simon Cowell. He'll come on.
Of course he will.
Get game on.
That'd be brilliant.
Hello, nice to meet you. I go, Gareth's a whole fan. Can he come on? I'm going to... What could I say that would be the sort of thing that would most upset you? Is it like, can Gareth go and play the French horn at home game?
Mate, I would do it.
You'd actually do
I'd
it.
I'd do it.
And imagine us filming that and then watching it. I'd feel like reality had glitched if something like that happened.
Hang on, would I do it? I'm just thinking...
Think about how you feel.
I'm thinking about Hull fans.
They're going to not like it.
They're not going to like it.
Of course they're not going to like it. Like that thing, do you remember at Sheffield when they did that air guitar thing? Like they did like, well, we're doing this air guitar contest at Sheffield. I was like, fuck off. Like the Ang Lee was such a disapproval. Because it's like they control that space. You can't make them do stuff.
No, it's like half time. They're always bringing stuff out. Are they? We're going to do this game. I don't want to see this game. Yeah. Fuck off.
It's better be children with cancer. Like, that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Get ready to. Right, listen, we know you don't like this shit. This is though, kids will go, all right, come on in, get them out, we'll raise some money or whatever. It'll be quite nice while they take a penalty or something. But anything other than that. It's an adult with cancer. No, fuck off! You're not a kid with cancer. It's the only possible bit of clemency.
They're not going to react well to me playing Mozart's
We've got
fourth
a lad,
horn concert.
Nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. He's doing well. He's going to play the French horn. Fuck off! it'll be good. We'll get there, but let's get him on. Turkish Simon Cowell coming on. Yeah, and tell us who you want on the show, who you think will be good guests on the show. Tactically, we think Ben Foster is a good guest for YouTube and everything.
Tactically,
good for our channel, tactically. All right, guys, that's all we've got time for. Remember, you can listen to this conversation every week as a podcast. In the meantime, do try to remember in this trickier world that football is nice.
It is.
It's quite nice.